Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, November 8th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Wildcatter Trail gets $10 million in grants. City leaders. 19-mile trail that connects Midland and Odessa to give people a safe place to ride and exercise. By Ben Schaffer, staff writer. The City of Midland and University of Texas Permian Basin announced Tuesday that they have been awarded a grant to fund the beginning stages of the Wildcatter Trail. The Wildcatter Trail is a planned 19-mile walk, hike, and bike trail that connects Midland and Odessa, extending from the Scarborough Sports Complex to UTPB's Odessa campus. The City of Midland was awarded $3,697,495 from the Texas Transportation Commission, while UTPB was awarded $6,377,697. These initial grants will lead to future grant applications intended to fund the estimated $65 million trail, according to UTPB officials. The trail is being created to give bikers and residents a safe place to ride and exercise. Initial plans for the trail began in 2018. Midland Mayor Lori Blong, Midland City Councilman Jack Ladd, UTPB President Sandra Woodley, and Dunaway Regional Executive Tim Hare discussed the grants and the preliminary stages of the project. Regarding the project's timeline, Hare said breaking ground in the middle part of 25, the year 2025, would be a safe expectation. With it being federal funds administered by the state, some of the reporting requirements that go along with this money, it takes a little bit longer than you would normally expect for a design process, Hare said. Woodley said UTPB and the City of Midland will start their work once they get through the design process and all the approvals associated with receiving their grant. Although these grants give the two entities around $10 million, the trail is estimated to cost around $65 million. Blong called the reception of these grants the first success story in the process. Blong said local cycling and running organizations participated in the planning process of the trail. We know that there will be future grant applications and future funding sources that we seek to be able to build out the full 19 miles, Blong said. This is a huge step in the right direction. Midland City Councilman Jack Ladd discussed another funding avenue that local entities could explore in the future. There's going to be other opportunities for the MPO, Metropolitan Planning Association, Ladd said. We have access to CO2 reduction funds granted by the federal government to reduce carbon emissions, and that could be up to $12 million we could allocate to this project, he said. I would also like to encourage the counties of Midland and Ector, which didn't have an opportunity to apply for the grant this year, to apply for the grant. We could be looking at more than half of the funding necessary to achieve this goal with just grant money alone. Although the Wildcatter Trail Committee included members from the City of Odessa, it did not receive grant money. I don't think we have any documentation of that, the City of Odessa's grant status, Blong said. The only thing we know is we've received letters for these two grants and the $10 million. This article is entitled, El Paso Man Dies After Collision in Midland County, by the Midland Reporter Telegram. An El Paso man died Sunday as a result of a two-vehicle collision inside Midland County, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety. DPS reported that Angel Martinez Garcia, 21, was traveling westbound in a 2003 Nissan 350Z on West County Road 173, disregarded the stop sign at the intersection of WCR 173 and State Highway 349, and entered the intersection. It was there that a 2024 Chevrolet Silverado 3500 with trailer traveling southbound on State Highway 349 collided with the Nissan. Garcia Martinez was pronounced deceased at the scene, DPS reported. This crash remains under investigation. The collision took place at 9:30 p.m., and Garcia Martinez was wearing a seatbelt. The fatality is the 33rd reported inside Midland County this year, according to Reporter-Telegram records. This article is entitled, Honoring All Who Have Served. Veterans Day events taking place in Midland, Odessa, by Morgan Taylor Thomas, staff writer. UTPB Veterans Day Celebration, Thursday. In order to bring veterans of all ages together, UTPB will hold a celebratory ceremony Thursday morning. Beyond the light breakfast that will be served, guests can expect speeches and stories from veterans in the Permian Basin community, a performance by the UTPB Music Department, local high school ROTC programs, appearances by other community partners, and more. Guests are encouraged to wear red, white, and blue. The event will begin at 8 a.m. in the UTPB gym, 4011 Preston Smith Road, Odessa. Veterans Gravel Grind, Friday, Saturday. Local bicycle racing crew, VIM Racing, will host the Veterans Gravel Grind on Saturday at the Lake Colorado City State Park, an hour from Midland. With all proceeds going to the Trail Warrior Project, a nonprofit helping veterans bikepacking, the event is open to all riding fanatics, not just veterans. Guests can participate in a full, half, or quarter grind, 73, 49, and 24 miles respectively. Veterans and first responders receive half off the registration fee on any distance. Sign up at runsignup.com/race/TX/Colorado City/Veterans Gravel Grind. There will be an 8 a.m. mass start time, and anyone between the ages of 13 and 16 years old must be accompanied by a guardian. Farm to Market Road, 2836. On Friday, Energy City Bike, Midland's newest bike shop, will host two race prep rides at 2 and 4 p.m. The business will demo a fleet of Diverge STR carbon gravel bikes. These bikes can be rented for race day. Call 432-203-4394 or swing by the shop for more info. 2810 West Loop 250 North. Midland College Veterans Day Celebration, Saturday. Permian Warrior Partnership and Midland College will hold a Veterans Day celebration from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday. With loads of free fun for community members of all ages, the event is designed to honor those who've served. The morning will begin with a free 5K run-walk and 1K fun run. RSVP at bit.ly/40P#GQHH. A ceremony will be held at 11 a.m., followed by a $1,000 cornhole tournament, petting zoo, food trucks, service fair, train rides, and more, from 1 to 4 p.m., 3600 North Garfield Street. An American salute to our veterans. Saturday. the West Texas Symphony will hold a Veterans Day-themed concert for the community Saturday evening at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Popular Americana repertoire such as Copland, John Williams, and Gould will be heard throughout the theater. Tickets can be bought from WagnerNoel.com. A limited number of free veteran tickets can be purchased from vettix.org. Doors will open at 6:30 p.m., 1310 Farm to Market Road, 1788. Bubba's Free Veteran Lunch, Saturday. Both the Midland and Odessa Bubba's 33 locations will offer free lunch for veterans, active, retired, and former U.S. military, between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. Saturday. Guests will get to choose one of six entree options: classic cheeseburger, Bubba's bacon burger, bacon chicken mac and cheese, grilled chicken salad, chicken tender salad, or any 12-inch pizza, plus any Coca-Cola product, iced tea, or coffee. Guests will need to bring proof of service, military or VA card, discharge papers. 3315 West Loop 250 North in Midland and 6153 State Highway 191 in Odessa. This article is entitled Kinder to Buy NextEra's South Texas Gas Pipes by Elizabeth Elkin, Bloomberg. Kinder Morgan Inc. agreed to buy NextEra Energy Partner LP's South Texas natural gas pipeline assets for $1.815 billion in cash. The STX Bidstream pipeline system connects the Eagle Ford Basin to Mexican and U.S. Gulf Coast markets. The assets include a 90% interest in the NET Mexico pipeline and a 50% stake in Dos Caminos LLC, Kinder Morgan said Monday. The deal is Kinder's sixth purchase in the past 3 years. Pipeline operators are increasingly turning to acquisitions for growth, as public opposition and regulatory hurdles make it more difficult to build new conduits. The transition to renewable energy, meanwhile, threatens the long-term need for additional pipelines. NextEra Energy Partners announced earlier this year that it would sell its gas pipelines to focus on renewables, as U.S. President Joe Biden's landmark climate law boosts investment in the sector. The Kinder transaction is expected to close during the first quarter, pending regulatory clearance, according to the statement. Kinder Morgan fell 0.4% in aftermarket trading. NextEra Energy Partners rose 0.6%. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled Oil Falls Most Since July on China Trade Data by Julia Fanzarez and Mia Gindis, Bloomberg. Oil fell the most in more than 3 months as weak trade data from China and fresh doubts about whether the Federal Reserve has finished raising rates clouded the outlook for demand. West Texas Intermediate slid 4.3% to settle near $77 a barrel, the lowest since July 21st. The declines deepened in the afternoon after WTI dipped below its 200-day moving average, a sign of longer-term weakness that often spurs additional selling. The dollar strengthened, potentially hurting oil demand by making the commodity more expensive for importers. After Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis President Neil Kaskari said it's too soon to declare victory over inflation. He also said the risk of over-tightening monetary policy is preferable to doing too little, and that he's concerned that inflation could tick up again. Meanwhile, trade data from China, the world's largest crude importer, showed a precarious economic recovery as overseas shipments missed expectations, dropping 6.4%, while imports increased by 3% from a year earlier last month. The data signals the continued decline in the Chinese economic outlook, driven by deteriorating demand in the country's largest export destination, the West, said Fiona Sincotta, senior financial markets analyst at Citi Index. On the supply side, Russia is shipping crude near the highest rates in more than 4 months, and the Israel-Hamas war has yet to disrupt flows from the Middle East as it enters its second month. The prompt spread for WTI, the difference in prices between its two nearest contracts, narrowed to its weakest level since July, suggesting supplies remain ample. The premium for near-term barrels shrank to as little as 13 cents, down from $1.43 3 weeks ago, when supply concerns were at the forefront of investors' minds. Continued supply cuts from OPEC Plus leaders Saudi Arabia and Russia had supported crude prices on Monday. The two nations said over the weekend that they would continue their curbs into the end of the year. OPEC Secretary General Haitham Al-Gayus expects oil demand to remain strong despite challenges facing the global economy. This article is entitled Skepticism Over Hotel Projects. DoubleTree manager says downtown Midland can't economically support new hotels. By Mella McEwen, staff writer. City leaders are attempting to craft a deal to bring a new hotel, the Hotel Santa Rita, downtown, to be built on acreage including the site of the demolished Western Union Life Building. The project has met with skepticism from Shafiq Tehani, managing partner of the DoubleTree by Hilton, Midland Plaza. He stressed that he is not against competition. "I've had competition since I've been in business," he said. "This has nothing to do with competition and everything to do with oversupply downtown." What Tehani is against is the taxing entities giving funds to projects that aren't economically viable, he said. The DoubleTree is a 261-room hotel. Santa Rita is expected to be a 135-room hotel, and the Tapestry, which will be located on 112 South Lorraine Street, is expected to add 80 guest rooms. The Midland City Council approved a 10-year hotel occupancy tax reimbursement and property tax abatement in October for the Tapestry project. MDC and the City of Midland officials are currently in negotiations with Midland Downtown Renaissance, LP, regarding Santa Rita. "If there was a need for another hotel in downtown Midland, why would I not put another hotel in downtown Midland?" he asked members of the Midland Development Corporation board as he sought $15 million to fund extensive renovations to his downtown property. Tehani, whose family has owned the DoubleTree property since 2004, told board members if there was a need for another downtown hotel, he would partner with other hotel companies to establish one. "There is not a need for more downtown hotels," he said. "They might look good, but none of them would make money." He estimated renovations to his downtown property average $122,000 per unit. And today you can't build even a limited service hotel at that price. It would be $400,000 to $600 per door. And those numbers don't make sense. They won't make sense in Midland. He described a typical week at a downtown Midland hotel. Mondays are typically shoulder days as business travelers head to Midland. Tuesday and Wednesday, the hotel is full. Thursday is another shoulder day as guests head back home, and Friday through Sunday are dead unless we have a significant function downtown, and then we're okay. The rates these developers think they're going to get with these new projects? They're not going to get, he said. All the development done downtown, Centennial Park, the new restaurants and retail, help, he said. But more entertainment events are needed to really help energize downtown. People don't come from Dallas, from Houston, from Austin, from San Antonio for vacation, he said. They come for sporting events or business. I don't want you to have the perception that if we build new hotels, the people will come. A large number of people will go to Dallas or Houston or Austin versus Midland. The percentage of people who will spend $400 to $500 a night in Midland is a lot less. Yet another caution he offered is that many of the backers of the hotel projects don't understand the Midland market. They look at the numbers, and they look at only the good numbers. As the oil business goes, so goes Midland. A lot of people get burned. They put so much money into projects, and then you have an oil collapse. Noting that the Odessa Marriott is being held up as a standard for downtown hotels, Tehani pointed out that it was only 5 years old, versus 50 years for the DoubleTree, and cost $60 million. With $60 million, I could build the Taj Mahal, he said, but it's not practical. Tehani also wants the public to know that, should the MDC agree to his request, the funds will come from sales taxes, which are paid by people from outside spending money in Midland. It's not from property taxes or school bond or anything that would take away from any other programs. This is the Life Tributes column. James Hurt, April 29, 1930 to November 2, 2023. Odessa. James Ratliff Buzz Hurt was the grandson of Ector County ranching pioneers Sarah Jane, Miss Sally Wittenberg Ratliff, and Harvey Stewart Bud Ratliff. Miss Sally and Bud homesteaded four sections in 1903, which was the beginning of Ratliff Ranch. Buzz was born April 29, 1930, in Austin, to Mary Ratliff Hurt and Sam Fuqua Hurt Sr. Buzz peacefully passed away on All Souls Day, November 2, 2023, surrounded by his loving children and wife. Buzz married Freddie Jean Wheeler in 1950. Four wonderful children came from that union, Mary Helen, Jay, Joe, and Sally. In 1983, Buzz married Betsy Triplett. Upon his passing, Buzz joined his beloved grandparents, parents, brother, and son, James Ratliff, Jay Hurt, Jr., and grandson Ben Heap in heaven. Buzz is survived by his wife of 39 years, Betsy, the fourth, fifth, and sixth generations of Ratliff heirs who shall continue his stewardship are Mary Helen Johnson, Joseph Stewart Hurt and wife Sherry, Sally Beth Bolton and husband Toya, and Vicky Hurt, widow of Jay, as well as 13 grandchildren and 18 great-grandchildren. The family will gather on Ratliff Ranch for a private celebration of this good man. In lieu of flowers, kindly honor Buzz by helping others with a donation to the West Texas Food Bank or to your favorite charity. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.hubbardkellyfuneralhome.com. Kenneth Ray Dean, July 13, 1941 to November 2, 2023. Ken died peacefully on November 2nd at Midland Memorial Hospital in Midland at the age of 82. Ken was born on July 13, 1941 to Jeff and Jewel Dean in Lawton, Oklahoma. He married D. Etta Magyar in college when they both attended Oklahoma State University. He and Dee started their family in Albuquerque and became the proud parents of Jason and J.D. He then moved to Midland to open the Texas office of Johnson Miller and Company. Ken and Dee lived in Midland and were married for 27 years. Ken began the next phase of his life when he married Peggy Dean and her daughter, Sarah Kate Billingsley, in 1990. They lived in Odessa for 29 years and enjoyed many years of working together, traveling, playing gin and golf. Ken is survived by his immediate family of son Jason and wife Susan, daughter J.D. and husband William Moore, and grandchildren Garrett, Landon, and Valerie. He also leaves behind many who loved him and will miss him, especially his Saturday breakfast partner, Peggy Dean, and his daughter from another father, Sarah Billingsley. In lieu of flowers, please feel free to make a donation to the local SPCA in Ken's honor or to a charity of your choice. A luncheon will be held at 12 p.m. Saturday, November 11th at the branch at NPW. Memorial service will follow at 2 p.m. Saturday, November 11th at Nallie Pickland Wells Funeral Home Chapel. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Eileen Vanderlee, May 8, 1925 to October 31, 2023. Eileen Vanderlee, 98, passed away peacefully in her sleep on October 31, 2023. Services will be at St. Matthew's Episcopal Church, Austin, at 2 p.m. on November 11th, with live stream on the church's YouTube channel. Eileen was born May 8, 1925, to Anton and Pearl Petrie Kuhn and grew up on a farm near Lenora, Oklahoma. Eileen is survived by her sister, Carolyn Spear, son, Keith, daughter, Gail, Wes Strain, grandchildren, Kelly Rawad, Jeff Miguel, and Emily, and great-grandsons, Adam and Noah. She was preceded in death by her parents and three sisters, Lillian Muller, Cecilia Coons, and Billy Mayo. Cremation arrangements were under the direction of Nallie Pickland Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Frances Loretta Park Hodges went to be with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Thursday, October 26, 2023. She was born on January 15, 1927, to Minnie Mayhew Park and W.J. Park Jr. near Winters, Texas. The family will receive friends for visitation Saturday, November 11th, from 9 to 11 a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Graveside services will begin at 11 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that you make a donation to her church, Glen Meadows Baptist Church, 6002 Knickerbocker Road, San Angelo, 76904. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences.
Murder suspect indicted as an adult. An Odessa teenager marked his 17th birthday by being arrested on a capital murder charge and three counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Akias Quente Claret was indicted by an Ector County grand jury on October 30th in the death of Gonzalo Diaz Jr., 16, and transferred from the Ector County Youth Center to the Ector County Adult Detention Center Monday, his birthday. Detectives have learned a group of people agreed to meet at the Carriage House Apartments on North Dixie Boulevard to conduct an unlawful firearm transaction. Surveillance video showed three people approached a car containing four people and Kanan Shorter, 18, and Claret shooting into the vehicle. Three people were injured and Diaz was killed. Claret and Javion Landreth, 18, were arrested in July and Shorter was arrested in September. Claret is being held on surety bonds totaling $400,000. Bonds of $600,000 and $500,000 have been set for Shorter and Landreth, respectively. Wife facing aggravated assault charge. A 26-year-old Odessa woman was arrested Sunday morning after her common-law husband accused her of confronting him in the shower with a knife. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies received a disturbance call from the 11,000 block of West Westmark Street around 7:30 a.m. Sunday. When they arrived, a 29-year-old man told them Cynthia Carranza Molina broke into their restroom through a locked door and pulled him out of the shower using his necklace and while holding a knife, the report stated. The man said both of them fell and he grabbed the knife and threw it in the tub. According to the report, deputies saw red marks on his neck and a kitchen knife in the tub. Molina was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. She remained in the Ector County Jail on an Immigration and Customs Enforcement hold and a $25,000 surety bond on Tuesday night.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud for November 3, 2023. West Texas Symphony to present an Americana salute to our veterans by Kathy Chateau. The West Texas Symphony will honor service members and showcase popular Americana repertoire on Veterans Day via an American salute to our veterans, November 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. With Gary Lease as the musical director and conductor, the special evening will showcase selections including the Americana Salute by Morton Gould, Appalachian Spring and Lincoln Portrait by Aaron Copland, Hymn to the Fallen from Saving Private Ryan by John Williams, as well as others. The Chamber Choral and Voices of the Permian Basin Youth Choir will also share vocal performances. Tickets are currently on sale and range from $12 to $60, while a limited number of free tickets for veterans will be available via VetTix. Purchase tickets online here by calling 1-800-514-3849 or at the Wagner Noel box office Wednesday through Friday, 1 to 5 p.m. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center is located at 1310 North FM 1788 in Midland. Permian Basin's growing youth population urged to vote on November 7th. November 2nd, 2023 by Mike Aldex. Your vote counts is the phrase of the week as elections officials across Texas urge citizens to make their voices heard in the upcoming constitutional amendment election on Tuesday, November 7th. The message may be directed at all voters, but officials and advocates have been particularly focused on encouraging higher rates of voting among youth, a group that is growing in numbers in the Permian Basin, but that hasn't historically shown up at the polls in large numbers, especially in non-presidential elections. In the 2022 midterm elections, the youth turnout rate ages 18 to 25 in Texas was 21.5%, a reduction from the 25.8% turnout rate in the 2018 midterms, according to data from the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement, or CIRCLE. The League of Women Voters have been among the organizations looking to increase youth voting rates. In the first 6 months of 2023, the League said it hosted nearly 1,000 events and registered over 19,000 youth in U.S. high schools, community colleges, technical and vocational schools, and other youth-serving areas. League volunteers have continuously found that utilizing youth leadership gets students more engaged and excited about voting and elections, the organization states. With November 3rd marking the last day of early voting, all citizens, young and old, still have a chance to make their voices heard at the polls, which open at 7 a.m. and close at 7 p.m. statewide on November 7th. To find out if you are registered to vote and where to cast your vote, visit the Texas Secretary of State's easy-to-use Am I Registered portal. For residents of New Mexico, go here. Find this story in audio for blind and low-vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas Radio Station at www.recordinglibrary.org live stream.
Obituaries. Lino Garcia passed away on November the 3rd. There will be a celebration of life for Pastor Lino Joel Garcia on Friday, November the 10th, 2023 at 11:30 a.m. A private viewing for immediate family will take place from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. and for all others from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The service will begin at 11:30 a.m. at Life Challenge United Pentecostal Church, 4500 North Grandview in Odessa. Norbert Grona, age 63, passed away on Tuesday, October the 31st. Memorial events for Norbert Grona will be a visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. on November the 9th at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home, 6801 East Business 20 in Odessa. And the funeral service will be November the 10th at 10 a.m., Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Darrell Cook, his memorial service to be held at a later date. Kenneth Dean, age 82, passed away on November the 2nd. A luncheon will be held at 12 p.m. Saturday, November the 11th at the Branch at NPW. Memorial service will follow at 2 p.m. Saturday, November the 11th at the Nally, Pickle, and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally, Pickle, and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. James Ratliff Buzz Hurt passed away on November the 2nd. The family will gather on Ratliff Ranch for a private celebration. Jose Vargas Pepe Estrada Jr., age 70 of Odessa, died Thursday, November the 2nd in Odessa. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel, but no services have been scheduled. Brittany Look, age 35, passed away on October the 28th. A memorial service will be held on Friday, November the 10th at 10 a.m. at Crossroads, located at 6901 Texas, 191 Frontage Road in Odessa. Rhonda Gay Lynn, age 83 of Odessa, died Wednesday, November the 1st. Funeral service will be held at 3 p.m. November the 7th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Carol Lynn Travis, age 65 of Odessa, died Saturday, November the 4th. Memorial service will be held 2 p.m. Friday, November the 10th at the Acres West Funeral Chapel. Dylan E. Zubia, age 17 of Odessa, died Saturday, October the 28th in Penwell. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. November the 8th at the American Heritage Funeral Home.
Midland bumped from top in employment growth. Bureau of Labor Statistics says largest over-the-year percentage gain in September occurred in Charleston and North Charleston, South Carolina. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. For the first month this year, the Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area did not lead the nation's in yearly percentage gain in employment. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics did report Wednesday that Midland finished second. The BLS reported the largest over-the-year percentage gain in employment during the month of September occurred in Charleston and North Charleston, South Carolina, 5.3%, followed by Midland, 4.9%, and Huntsville, Alabama, 4.5%. Quote, in September, non-farm payroll employment increased over the year in 64 metropolitan areas, decreased in one area, and was essentially unchanged in 324 areas, the BLS reported. Employment in Midland jumped from 115,400 in September 2022 to 121,000 in September of 2023 in the Midland MSA. Odessa's jump was 2.2% from 79,400 to 81,600. What about the employment rate? As previously reported, Midland's 2.5% unemployment rate was the lowest in the state, but the BLS reported Wednesday that Midland's jobless rate wasn't close to the lowest in the nation. The BLS also reported that at least 11 different states had jobless rates of 2.5% or lower, and 5 entire states, North Dakota, South Dakota, Maryland, Nebraska, and Vermont, showed unemployment rates at or below 2%. North Dakota's was the lowest at 1.3%. The BLS report also showed 10 metropolitan areas across the country with September jobless rates below 2%, and a total of 234 areas below the U.S. unemployment rate of 3.6%.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram's oil report for Saturday, November 4th. Enterprise announces Permian Basin expansion projects. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Permian Basin crude, natural gas, and natural gas liquids production continues to climb, challenging midstream companies to handle the additional volumes. Enterprise Products Partners is allocating $3.1 billion on 4 capital projects to support that Permian Basin growth while addressing the need to transport natural gas liquids, also known as NGLs. Quote, "What can get lost is that along with oil comes liquids, and there's been a sizable increase in NGL production, which is expected to continue growing the rest of the decade," Rick Rainey, Enterprise's Vice President of Public Relations, told a Reporter-Telegram by telephone. Rainey said the company has an incredibly accurate fundamentals group. This group forecasts crude oil production in the Permian Basin is on track to increase by more than 700,000 barrels per day in 2023 and to grow by approximately 1.5 million barrels per day for the 3-year period ending 2025. Post-2025, the company expects crude oil production from the basin to increase by up to another 15%, or more than 1 million barrels per day, reaching in excess of 7.5 million barrels per day by the end of 2030. Commensurate with these levels of crude oil production, the fundamentals group believes NGL production from the basin is on track to increase more than 200,000 barrels per day in 2023, and grow by 700,000 barrels per day for the 3-year period ending 2025. From 2025 to 2030, Enterprise believes NGL production from the Permian could grow by more than 500,000 barrels per day to nearly 4 million BPD by the end of 2030. Quote, "While U.S. demand for liquids like propane is relatively flat, there is growing demand from global markets," said Rainey. "For example, we have such a large percentage of the global population living in energy poverty, and LPGs like propane give them a cleaner source of energy for heating and cooking, increases their lifespan and quality of life," end quote. In the first of 4 projects, Enterprise has started construction on the Mentone 4 natural gas plant serving the Delaware Basin. Mentone 4 will have the capacity to process more than 300 million cubic feet per day of natural gas to extract more than 40,000 barrels per day of NGLs. This plant is expected to begin service in the second half of 2025. Construction of Mentone 2, which also has the capacity to process in excess of 300 MMCF per day of natural gas, was completed earlier this month and has begun operations. The previously announced Mentone 3 natural gas processing plant, which also has the capacity to process more than 300 MMCF per day, is currently under construction and scheduled to begin service in the first quarter of 2024. Upon the completion of Mentone 3 and Mentone 4, Enterprise will have approximately 2.5 billion cubic feet per day of natural gas processing capacity in the Delaware Basin, capable of extracting more than 330,000 barrels per day of NGLs. Enterprise has also commenced construction on the Orion Natural Gas Processing Plant, the partnership's eighth plant in the Midland Basin. Orion will have the capacity to process more than 300 MMCF per day of natural gas to extract more than 40,000 barrels per day of NGLs. This plant is expected to be in service in the second half of 2025. Construction of the previously announced Leonidas Natural Gas Processing Plant, which also has the capacity to process in excess of 300 MMCF per day of natural gas, is proceeding on schedule and is expected to begin service in the first quarter of 2024. These plants in the Delaware and Midland Basins are supported by long-term producer dedications and minimum volume commitments. Upon the completion of the Leonidas and Orion plants, Enterprise will have 1.9 BCF per day of natural gas processing capacity in the Midland Basin, capable of extracting more than 270,000 barrels per day of NGLs. Based on expected NGL production growth from the Permian, along with NGL production from the Rockies and San Juan Basin, Enterprise plans to construct the Bahia NGL pipeline, a 550-mile pipeline with the capacity to transport up to 600,000 barrels per day from the Delaware and Midland Basins to its fractionation complex in Chambers County. It is expected to begin service in the first half of 2025. To provide incremental NGL transportation service until the Bahia pipeline is completed, Enterprise has begun preparations to convert the Seminole Red pipeline from crude oil service back to NGL service in December 2023. This pipeline has been in crude oil transportation service since the second quarter of 2019 and was known as Enterprise's Midland to Echo 2 crude oil pipeline. Prior to 2019, the Seminole Red pipeline was in NGL service. The fourth and final Permian growth project is Enterprise's NGL Fractionator 14 in Chambers County. This plant will have the capacity to fractionate up to 195,000 barrels per day of NGLs, and the new associated deisobutanizer unit will have the capability to separate up to 100,000 barrels per day of butanes. Construction is scheduled to be completed during the second half of 2025. Rainey said the expansion projects will allow Enterprise to transport, process, fractionate, and store NGLs for either domestic use or for shipment to markets across the globe. Quote, "The lifespan of the Permian Basin has grown due to producer advancements in areas such as drilling and completion techniques. That has breathed new life into a very old but still very prolific basin," he said. A.J. Jim Teague, co-chief executive officer of Enterprise's general partner, said these new projects bring to $6.8 billion its total portfolio of facilities under construction. State representative from San Angelo warns of jump in power needs. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. The Permian Basin, global epicenter of energy production, needs energy to develop its oil and natural gas resources. State Representative Drew Darby, a member of the House Energy Resources Committee and chair of the House Redistricting Committee, is warning that the Permian Basin is going to fall far short of its electricity transmission needs without significant investment. That need comes as the industry increasingly electrifies its equipment as part of a commitment to environmental improvement. Darby told Grant Schwartzwelder, president of OTA Environmental Solutions, during a recent Oilfield Strong webcast, that six major companies active in the Permian Basin, including Diamondback Energy and ConocoPhillips, commissioned a study on the subject. The study found that, quote, "We're going to need more electricity to honor our electrification commitments, and we need electricity at sites where we drill and produce and store," Darby said. That demand is forecast to grow from a current 4.2 gigawatts to about 17.6 gigawatts by 2032, he said. Quote, "That just can't happen overnight," he said. Darby added, quote, "I'm afraid what we have in place does not give us the priority that is necessary if we're going to meet the needs of this country. We're going to have more production out of the Permian Basin and the Delaware Basin, and in order to do that, we're going to have more electrification and capacity, and that's brought by transmission, and that's what I'm a tireless advocate for," end quote. The issue is there are 17 state representatives, quote, "representing two-thirds of the landmass west of Interstate 35. In Harris County alone, there are 25 representatives for the folks who have the refineries and need electricity," Darby told Schwartzwelder. They oppose transmission expansion projects because they don't want the cost added to their constituents' electricity bills, he explained. Quote, "I keep reminding them that you city folks like living here, but the last time I checked, they don't grow cattle in the back of HEB or cotton in the back of the men's warehouse in Dallas," end quote. In order to get good fiber, hair, oil, gas, or electricity to market, he said some of those dollars must stay here in West Texas, quote, "so we can have good roads so you can get your product to market, so we can have good schools that can provide education and have families that live in this area who load those trucks and trains. We have to have a good healthcare delivery system because mama's not going to live where she doesn't have healthcare. Without all of those needs, you're not going to be able to live in cities because you can't live in a city without products delivered to you from rural Texas," end quote. Regulators at the Public Utility Commission have been receptive, he said. Now legislators need to get on board and support his efforts to make the transmission permitting process quicker and more efficient in order to deliver projects to areas with transmission constraints. Also, efforts to allow the PUC to look at the cost of transmission lines on a longer-term basis to make those projects more cost-efficient.
This is the Dear Abby column. Grandparents prepare final gift for thankless grandkids. Dear Abby, for years we have given generous gifts to our six out-of-town grandchildren and received almost no thanks and acknowledgement. It hurts my feelings because I devote a lot of thought, in addition to money, to choosing something special for each of them. Obviously, they don't care. But when we have just sent checks, not knowing what they read, wear, or want, our checks are always cashed. It's the same with gift cards. This year, we will send gifts to their parents, our own children, period. The grandchildren will receive your letters booklet, including the section on writing thank you notes. Please send me six before the end of November. Signed, Ticked Off Granny in Oregon. Dear Ticked Off, the issue you have raised is one I hear about often from other Ticked Off readers each year. I'm sorry you didn't mention how old your grandchildren are, because the fault may lie with their parents. who should have taught their children this social skill from the time they were old enough to hold a writing implement. Some people procrastinate because they don't know how to express their feelings via the written word and fear they will say the wrong thing. They mistakenly think a thank you note must be long and flowery when in fact short and to the point is more effective. This is why the How to Write Letters booklet was written. It contains samples of thank you letters for birthday gifts, shower gifts, and wedding gifts, as well as those that arrive around holiday time. It also includes letters of congratulations and ones regarding difficult subjects, such as the loss of a parent, a spouse, or a child. This booklet can be ordered by sending your name and mailing address, plus a check or money order for $8 U.S. funds, to Dear Abby Letters Booklet, P.O. Box 447, Mount Morris, Illinois, 61054-0447. Shipping and handling are included in the price. With the holiday season fast approaching, this is the perfect time to reply with a handwritten letter, note, or well-written email. Although handwritten notes are the gold standard, many folks these days opt to take a shortcut by using technology that didn't exist before the quill and inkwell. While texts may seem cold or terse, they are better than no acknowledgement at all. Dear Abby, I am a 63-year-old heterosexual male who has recently joined an adult dating site to enhance my social and sexual life. A therapist suggested that it would help me to break out of my isolation and heal from the trauma of childhood sexual abuse. Could you please recommend some dating etiquette? What support organizations can assist with my recovery efforts? Signed, Looking in the West. Dear Looking, ask your therapist to suggest some sites you should visit. After you have looked them over, ask your therapist how to proceed. You are paying for emotional support from this person, and this is who should actually assist you with your recovery. If it works, stick with this therapist. If it does not, contact RAINN, R-A-I-N-N, Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network, at RAINN.org to see if you are on the right track. You can contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.